I don't have anything, so we can continue to agenda item six, which is the program. This is time for a question and answer session for the nominees that have submitted application packets for the voting member vacancy for the industry interest, which was vacated by Terrell Tomachik. We have Alan Gardenhire by video, and we will interview him. Alan, can you hear us okay?
I can. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Great.
Very good. All right, Alan, what we're going to do is we're going to conduct an interview, and I'm going to let the committee members ask you anything they want to, I guess.
Sure.
And after that, we will ask you to either stay in the dark for a while and come back later, or if you want to log off, that's fine. And Pam can give you a call after the meeting's over. It's your choice. So
that's fine. I'll do that. And I do want to just thank the committee for just being willing to try to do this virtual. I was just at the lower basin meeting yesterday and felt fine, but last night started having a little bit of a fever and aches. And when I woke up this morning, felt like, boy, I don't need to feeling this way. I don't need to go expose folks. So sorry that it worked out that way, but appreciate the ability to do this online.
Sure. Why don't you start by just giving us an overview about yourself and qualifications and anything else that you want to tell us, and then we'll open it up for questions.
Sure. Okay. And, you know, I've had the privilege of getting to know a few of you over the last several years. We're being a fill-in for Terrell when he was unavailable. But I am originally from New Mexico, New Mexico native, went to school at New Mexico State University. So I was an Aggie, but I wasn't a Texas Aggie. I moved here in 1985 as a civil engineer graduate and went to work for Texas Utilities at the time, and have spent the last 37 years living in Rockdale, Milam County, and working for Texas Utilities, then Alcoa, then back to Texas Utilities, actually Luminant and Vistra Energy, in varying roles, most of it in the mining and construction sides of the business. And then for the last 5 years, after they shut down the Three Oaks mine and the power plant here at Sandow, have had the privilege of coming back and working with Tommy Hodges and helping Alcoa with the continued effort to find a buyer and actually continue to look for opportunity to do something with this 30,000 acres and all the facilities here. So I'm privileged now to be working with Sandow Lakes Ranch Properties. It's a private equity group and that has bought this property and have pretty big plans and big visions. And so that include industrial redevelopment and as well as a lot of other things. So it's just been a privilege for me to kind of get to see the back end of all of my efforts over the years in reclamation and all. So that's my current role. I'm the vice president of operations for Sandow Lakes Ranch. And in that regard, I'm accountable for everything from the sanitary sewer plant here to monitoring all the surface water, groundwater permits and as well as just the day-to-day operation. So that's a brief review of kind of my history. And I have three grown children that live in Central Texas area. So as I think about water and I think about the future, and as I got even more educated through the planning group to look at how critical water planning is for the state, it just, I think about them. You know, I've got a daughter that lives, and her husband live in Belton, and another son and daughter-in-law and three grandchildren live in South Austin. And then my other daughter and her husband live here in Rockdale. So New Mexico native, but been in Texas long enough that Texas is home.
Okay, thank you, Alan. So now we will open it up for questions. And I'll just start with you, Gil.
First, I just hope you feel better.
Well, thank you, Gil. I haven't gone and gotten any kind of testing or anything yet, but no one else was at the office today. So I knew I was safe coming in here, and hopefully it's just a summer cold, but we'll see.
Well, even with summer cold, just hope you feel better and appreciate the ushering on, because I know when you don't feel well, an interview with this crowd, not on your bingo card.
Well, that's fine.
I'd like to start with a question. You're like not an old shoe, but you're a familiar person. So we're looking at things that are a little different from what you've been doing with the Region G. Now, as VP of Operations, you were talking about 30,000 plus acres. How, in your mind, are you identifying the challenges that you're confronted with in getting these new plans without disclosing anything that's confidential? What are the challenges that you're encountering as you think about groundwater use and development of land?
Sure. Good question. Fair question. So one of the things that the new owners have really decided that they want to do, and that is, they've gone out and they're actually hiring a master planner, and that they've been in that process, and it's narrowed down to three firms, and these are nationwide firms that, and so they've decided they really want to take their time in developing the master plan for what happens here with the reindustrialization with the 30,000 acres, just so they do it right. But one of their goals and one of the things they have definitively said is they want this to be, they want it to be, if there's a residential, if there's any of that that comes back in, they want it to be, cities of the future. They want it to be carbon neutral. So there's a lot of vision for making sure that anything and everything that's done here is going to be done in a way that is matching where we're at in our technology today and where we're at with, opportunities to manage industrialization and residential and all that in a way that is carbon neutral, that a way that is embracing conservation. And what's neat about them, they don't want to run from what was here. This was a plant that was built in the 50s, and it was a very successful plant for 60 plus years. It provided an economic engine for the local area and the counties. And they don't want to run from that. They want to celebrate that, but they want to take that as well and move forward with a vision for what could be done here. And specifically to your question, and I think so you get into discussions with whether you're dealing with the groundwater or the surface water, in every decision you make for how you reuse things or when things get developed here, you have to think about those issues. You have to think about conservation. You have to think about what are the other ways that things are being done today that can make sure they are in alignment with the new vision. So specifically, you just back in when I first started in 1985, we were doing some of the first groundwater production tests to do some depressurization. At that time period, when we first started doing depressurization out here, we just pumped the water into the creek, and it ran to Somerville Lake, and became part of the river system, the lake system. I think in today's time period, and as things progressed, and I've kind of watched this over my career as things progressed, it was like, wait a minute, we need to figure out if there's somebody else that could use that water, some other water district or somebody that's providing water, over time that became, some of that water was going to Manville Water Supply Co-op. So I just think it's just a continual, Gail, it's a continual focus on what and how can we do things in a manner that is consistent with the best practices today for conservation, best practices today for, you know, being a steward on this planet. Yeah.
Well, as a follow-up, just using that phrase, best practices in conservation, what do you see as some of the things that are best practices? And then how can we advance the work of the Veresti Regional Planning Group in looking at those issues?
So I guess I would say, you know, some of those best practices are some of them are very simple, right? So as you look at, you know, especially for an old facility like this, but as you look at that, we have multiple areas where there are older systems, old potable water systems, and you know, it's just you lose more water than you think a little bit at a time, you know, a little drip or a little leak at a time. And so as those systems are replaced, you want to make sure you're replacing those. Number one, we got to be identifying them and fixing them, and I'm constantly dealing with potable water issues here today as we're kind of, you know, still trying to operate and use older systems. But those all got to get replaced and redone so that you don't have the losses that maybe were acceptable at one time. It's old infrastructure. So when you build new facilities, whether you've got, like right now, we've got a couple of Bitcoin mining companies here. And so they're using some surface water in their cooling processes. And we need to make sure that they're managing that, and the way that they're using that water is not allowing for any, even what would be considered minimal waste in the past. Those minimal waste aren't acceptable anymore. So.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You got some more?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Mr. Collinsworth?
Mr. Chairman, I don't have any questions for Alan. I've known Alan for a long time, and I have a lot of confidence in his abilities. And Alan, I'd just like to thank you for all you've done for Region G and your continued dedication to water for Central Texas.
Thanks. Thanks, David.
All right. Thank you. Mike McGuire.
This position, you're familiar with it, the whole thing. There's no question about that. And it's made that position is basically for the last 20 years has basically been tied to, you know, the industrial output that's been right there.
Right.
When you say, things that you're headed toward, my question is, there may be some residential stuff, but you're not basically trying to make a one huge new subdivision out of all this.
No, let me speak to that. And, you know, some things I can share and some things, of course, are covered under NDAs and all that. But the vision would be there's probably 6,000 to 8,000 acres that is in the original smelter area, the power plant area surrounds the Alcoa Lake. It's not been mined. It was never disturbed. It was really just buffer property for Alcoa. And the vision is that you would continue to have that area where it would be open for new industry. It's the area that currently we have some of the Bitcoin, two Bitcoin mining companies working, but it's an area that is prime for reindustrialization. So we've got gas lines in, we got rail, we've got water resources, and we got, you know, Highway 79 and Highway 77 that border that. So it's a clearly a good potential site for several industries to potentially come in and use that. The idea of long-term residential on any other aspect of the property would be probably driven more as just growth keeps pushing east from the Austin, Williamson County area. I mean, obviously it's not a secret, it's kind of public knowledge. We are going to be providing some of the groundwater for Samsung plant that's going into Taylor. So there's going to be more and more growth pushing east from Williamson County and Taylor. And so as that demand makes it opportunistic, there'll be a longer term opportunity for putting maybe some residential in and stuff out here. So I think it's not just a view of, oh, we've got some land and we could turn it into some residences. It's much, much bigger than that. And certainly an opportunity for quite a few industrial jobs is a key part of that, Mike. So I would venture, we had at its peak, Alcoa plus all the contractors was running 2,000 employees. I would venture that it's very possible in the next 3 to 5 years, 6 years, that you would have that many or double that many industrial jobs out here. I was telling David this yesterday. Alcoa did not want to sell out just a portion of their 30,000 acres, but in the last 4 or 5 years I've been here, there's been several major companies come along, and had Alcoa been willing to sell those companies just a smaller portion of the property, they would already probably be on site. But Alcoa was really focused to just sell the full 30,000 acres to the right party, and they think they've done that. And so hopefully that answers your question. It would be long-term combination of new industries as well as some potential residential down the road. I think the residential will be later than, I think it'll be driven more of a later on, a longer term than some of the industry.
Okay. That gives me, it just, because, it's not just, it's kind of, if somebody just picked this up and basically looked at it, they would say that this is more of an, the question is this, what is this, what is it and what all? And I think, I understand the situation as far as selling the whole lot stock and in it, because it's a whole lot, the end result is going to be better on anything if they have than a bunch of little pieces that piecemeal it. So sure. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, and that's exactly why they're kind of trying to make sure they develop an overall thought and master plan before they just jump up and, do too many small little deals and all of a sudden realize you've made a deal with somebody that didn't fit the long-term strategy for what you would have here. So I do feel like it's just, more and more companies are choosing to come to Texas, and I just feel like, we're, a phone call or two away from somebody. The governor's office is calling quite often and saying somebody's checked in and looking for a site. And so there's just more and more things that are getting referred this direction. I can't speak to anything in specific at the moment, but again, I think there'll be a lot of industry here, which I think that makes me uniquely kind of in a position where I could represent industry on the board, as well as there's over 18,000 acres of agricultural land that we've got in cattle leases, and we've got the end lakes associated with it. So I can appreciate that aspect of it as well.
Okay. No problem. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Judge Blackburn.
Thank you. Mr. Gardenhire, I don't know that we've met. If we have, I apologize. I just plead old age. A couple of questions, one specific, one general. Sure. On your application, you indicated that part of your responsibilities include managing water rights and permits, pumping activities with BRA. Could you elaborate a little bit more on what those interactions are with BRA or what they have been?
Sure, Mr. Blackburn. Alcoa had, I think it's 1952, a certificate of adjudication when they built the plant here and put the Little River pumping station in over there where the San Gabriel and the Little River come together. They put three pumps that are able to pump right at 16,000 gallons a minute, but they were put in strictly so that the lake, the cooling lake that was built at the time for the power plant, could be kept full. So it's Alcoa Lake is a man-made lake that was put here just for the power plant. So I have to report through the Water Master Program, I have to report and follow up on all of the pumping that is done from the Little River. And, you know, and even like currently today, we have a also have 5,000 acre contract for purchased water. So, you know, in times of low flow down in Bryan College Station area, we actually are limited between April and September what we can pump. So like today or this week, we're actually pumping some contract water from there. So I'm the one accountable for all the paperwork and all the reporting that goes in the Water Master Program with Molly and coordinating with Julie Andrus and others there at the Brazos River when we have to take some contract water.
Okay. Thank you. And then just a general question. Why are you applying? Why are you interested in this position?
You know, as I was thinking about that, I knew water was important, and I knew water was, a key. You know, that people say water is the new oil, right? But until I got involved with the planning group, when I sat in a few times for Terrell and started looking at the plans, I had no idea how critical it was really going to be going forward. And when you start looking at the demographics and the numbers that as the planning group, you look at on what's coming to Williamson County and what's coming up in the I-35 corridor, and you start looking and thinking on some of those things, it really it hits home. And what I realized, I've been involved in the Republican Party for years, but what I realized is that a lot of people may not really understand just the critical nature of that. Now they're going to, I mean, if you live in Georgetown, right, or if you, you know, people are starting to understand it more. But I think for me, the interest in, wow, this is really important. This is really critical stuff for the state. It's critical stuff for my kids and grandkids, because 20, 30 years from now, what kind of lifestyles they're able to have and how they manage water, that's going to be key, because whether we like it or not, things are changing. So if you live in Taylor, you can either like it or not, but you can't stop it. Things are changing. So I just feel like with my experience and my background with Alcoa, I always respected Alcoa because they tried to do things in an environmentally stewardship and social responsibility as a big company. And I think we're seeing how that's paid off. I've seen that, how that's paid off now with the value of the property here. And I think I want to just be able to leave that kind of a legacy and help with, you know, you have to have industry, you have to have jobs, that's critical. But you got to balance that with being a steward. So when you say exactly why do I want to be involved, I think there's just a need for people to take this stuff very serious, and it's going to get more serious every year that goes by, right? So I just have found it very interesting, and I feel like I could offer some things that might just be helpful. And I think a lot about my kids and grandkids, like, wow, you know, 30 years from now, what are they going to be dealing with, and is there going to be enough water for them? Is the planning that's done by the state and the Texas Water Development Board, is all that going to be sufficient to keep everything in where they can kind of enjoy the lifestyles we've enjoyed and yet still have enough resources, whether it's water or anything else here in the state? So hopefully that answers a little bit. But
it did. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. I don't have any other questions.
Okay. Thank you, Alan. I like Mr. Collinsworth, don't have any questions for you either. But what I will do is ask if there are any last comments or any last questions from any of the committee members. Hey, Gail, go ahead.
Several, I'm very impressed with your answers and thoughtfulness, and I think you bring a good balance to what we're trying to accomplish on Region G. I have one question that's more technical detail question, and then I'll ask the other question that I always ask every candidate. The industries group is not small business. I'm small business, so that's why I was interested in this. Mm-hmm. And the level of decision is, and without disclosing anything about SLR, just a range, as it were, the requirements are you have less than 500 employees. I'm sorry, you have more than 500 employees, and or you gross more than $10 million in gross revenue. As I say that, does SLR meet those requirements?
Yeah, there currently is more than $10 million of revenue with the even the leases that are currently here on site and the current things in place. So they do meet that.
Okay, excellent. Just want to make sure we didn't miss that question.
Yeah.
The other thing is you've served on several areas, including in your church, which I consider all of it important. Where have you been in a situation where you were promoting or in favor of a position and the group was struggling with that and opted not to go in the direction you suggested or were promoting? What kinds of things did you take away from that life lesson? And then I'm going to ask you the reverse, and that is, when something works well, what do you attribute the factors that made it work well?
Sure. I can think of a time when I was serving on the estate platform committee as in the Republican Party, and there was a minority of us that had a view that so we actually had to file a minority report because we were interested in something that was really not the majority didn't, and I think at the time it was more about school choice and some other things, but I think there's times when, whether it's in that situation or whenever it's been professionally, where I may have disagreed with the group on the direction that needed to happen. Now, in the working world, in that case, we were able to file a minority report and we were able to let our thoughts and opinions be known to the delegates. And so then, you know, you may have influenced some to understand it from a different perspective. In the working world, it's pretty well one of those where if you disagree, unless it was something unethical, immoral, or, you know, dishonest, as long as it was just a decision that was being made for a strategy or a direction that the organization wanted to go, you come under and come in line and move on and support and try to make everything the most successful you can. So there's always going to be opportunities where you may not totally agree with the exact the rest of the group, and in the case of as long as you have opportunity to speak up and let your opinion be considered, I've had strong opinions in cases before, and then the more you have that open dialogue, the more you realize, you know what, there's merit to what they're thinking, even though I don't agree with it, there's merit to it. And then when a decision is made, you support it. So I can see that coming into play even on this board at times. At the end of the day, the board's going to make decisions. And if you have, you know, they're not all going to be unanimous. I'm always a proponent for making sure you have the open dialogue. I will fight to let somebody that I 100% disagree with have his 3 minutes of say, so that we can all hear differing opinions. And then if I disagree, I'll just vote the other direction. But I'm very much an advocate to let everybody speak and hear differing opinions before you make any decisions.
Well, that's extremely important on this board for sure. The last question I have is, in your packet, you mentioned that you're looking at optimizing conservation and river water resources in instances of drought without jeopardizing industrial users. Can you put a little more flesh on those bones?
Yeah, you know, I think as I thought about that, I think there's just an opportunity where there's more and more things, and I know Gary Westbrook and I have talked a lot about this, and it's not news to you guys, I'm sure, but, you know, whether it's conjunctive use, ASR, there's got to be ways that we can continue to do things that just help with the overall water availability in periods of excess drought. Obviously, the River Authority has things now, even Aaron was talking yesterday, where you hit stage one or stage two or stage three of droughts and there's cutbacks. But, you know, it's twofold. Industry is going to continue to have to think about what are the things they can do, even if it's not desirable in those situations where they have to cut back some, and how do they flex their business at that time if they can, to what other ways can we develop and make more water available when we do get those drought times. So I don't, you know, as far as more meat on those bones, I don't know that I have some specific meat, but I do want to continue that dialogue. And, you know, Gary and I have talked a lot about there may be some opportunities for some ASR projects in the SLR world, just because of where we're located on the aquifer and all. We'll just have to continue to see how that may make sense going forward.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Alan. Anybody else have any last comments? Alan, do you have any last comments you would like to make?
No, I don't think so, Wayne. I appreciate the consideration. And if I'm the best fit, great. And if there's others, then I can support that as well. I'd love to stay involved and help however I can. So if you need me to, I will leave the meeting now. And then if Pam wants to alert me and I need to get back on, I can.
Yes, if you would, please. We're going to go into executive session.
Okay. Here. Okay, great. Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Mm-hmm.